VentureCast.
Music.
Horror.
Subculture. And overall badass.
Welcome
to Kettle Whistle Radio. With your host Dave and Sean.
Well, that's life, honey. Get used to it.
When I wake up, I know I want to be. I want to be the man who wakes up next to you.
Hey.
That's better than Ice Cubes in the Rain by Whitesnake.
No one can have a drink when there's ice cubes in the rain.
Well, we're more than testing the equipment right now. This is a comeback episode, possibly. But the studio is now haunted because there's a Heather Taddy in the house, and I've heard things. Hello, folks, and welcome back. And I'm back, and Sean's back.
I am back.
And he's in black. Isn't that amazing? Can you shut the studio door there? Right here? I can hear the ghost whisperer outside.
Yeah, let's scrap that and start over.
I don't want to.
Too late. Scrap it.
Why? What's happening?
Huh?
What is it?
Because I'm loud. We didn't adjust levels.
Oh, okay. We have to adjust levels. So, you know what? Be more quiet. Where's your mic? There's your mic.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just hot. I'm hot in my ears.
I think it is you because the levels look really, really good. Uh-huh. See, now, this is a little behind the scenes, folks. You're getting, what I give. Welcome back to Kettle Whistle Radio, where we are loud and back in black. We're both wearing black. I got my Frail t-shirt on right now for our friends in Frail. Now that I lost 40 pounds being in the hospital, I could fit in it. I am my seventh grade weight again. And Sean, you're just in black right now.
Yeah, I'm in my black boxer shorts and boots.
Well, welcome back, and welcome back, folks. Yeah, you're wearing your sexy boots.
Sure.
Yeah, well, what we call come fuck me boots. That's a term by females. I didn't make that term up. Yes, so you could attract females, apparently, wearing those boots in any pub. Yeah, well, I've been told. And girls do that.
Specifically that I could attract females in these boots?
Yeah, just you. All right, I've been away for a while, and since February.
You care to explain that?
I'm going to explain it. Yeah. We'll just say a while back, okay, going back to February, where I did my last show with Anastasia, which is actually a great show. It's episode 176. 276. I'm throwing away a whole century of worth of episodes. So I got sick in February, something that runs in my family, and then it got combined with my weakened pancreas. And I ended up in the hospital from February through May, off and on, but I was there for a solid 2.5 months, almost three. Long story short, I ended up with what's called necrotic, that's such a cool word, necrotic cells in my stomach that perforated and created two ulcers. Resulting in sepsis that happened within almost a couple of hours, the sepsis. It happened so quickly. It was scary. And I was basically working that day, hospital shift. And I got out. I went to a doctor's appointment, and all my vitals were great. My vitals have been fine since February, Sean. I'm just telling you. There was no signs of anything. I came home, we walked the dogs, Dee and I, and came home, sat down, did the bills. All of a sudden, I had this heartburn that wasn't going away. And she got scared. I got scared. It was getting more painful, really, literally like fire in the belly, in my throat and stomach. We went to the ER, and sure enough, they admitted me. And it was this. My duodenum, it had collected these cells that just died and were dead and dispersed into my stomach, resulting in pepsic ulcers. And I had to have surgery to repair it. And that's where we're at right now. I'm recovered. I was 215 with muscle. I was actually in the best shape of my life going into the hospital, which helped me. I have you to thank for that, for getting me such position through your brother. I was in really good shape. I lost my muscle, a lot of tissue. I went from 215 with muscle down to 160.
Jeez.
Yeah. And these hospitals, I'll just say I was in one, and they transferred me in the middle of the night by ambulance on a Friday night to the better hospital. I'm not going to badmouth anybody, but I met a lot of good people. Hi, Logan. Hello, Jess, my physical therapist. Rob, physical therapist. And Dr. Murdoch, who saved my life. I'm not going to badmouth some of the bad ones. There were just a handful of, maybe two out of 100 that I just didn't like. But they saved my life. And, three blood transfusions later and two surgeries, I'm here. And this is the first time I have my voice back almost solidly, because it was just weakened by the whole thing. I attribute it to making fun of your sleep paralysis, Sean, for a couple of episodes. I didn't take you seriously, and it was actually to back myself up, because I didn't really trust everybody that I talked to when they tell me stories about that, because I've had some people lie and give me lashbacks, or if they're just kidding around, then tell me after the episode. It's a serious situation that I didn't take too serious, and I'm thinking that whatever was haunting you came after me and in a black mass form. And and that's where we are right now. So I got mine. Sean, what's new with you?
Oh, nothing compared to that.
Oh, come on.
I mean,
now.
Just normal life, I guess.
Well, anything good? I know you've seen a few shows without me, or possibly.
Yeah, I went to see Skinny Puppy's final tour.
Oh, wow.
They played with Lead Into Gold, but Skinny Puppy had to cancel because Uger got sick.
Like, oh, shit, you did
like,
tell me
terribly
that.
Sick.
Yeah.
And legitimately.
His action figure, I don't mean to interrupt, but his action figure is actually behind you. He has an action figure.
Oh, I see that.
Yeah, he was in Scream Park any on ago and played the villain. But go ahead, Uger.
So, my brother Jeremy went, and Heather went, and there were a bunch of other people there that I knew, but Lead Into Gold played, and after their set was over, some members of the band came out and, you know, more or less told the story that, you know, Uger wasn't going to be able to perform, he wasn't feeling well, and, there were a lot of people that just didn't, you know, my brother, for instance, thought, oh, they're just joking, this is just some sort of stick, you know. Or shtick, and but they actually, yeah, they didn't play. I'm a member of Kevin Key's Patreon, and I think they're definitely trying to rebook the show with their next leg of the final tour. The challenge, as I understand it, is that Live Nation books their tours like 2 years in advance, and because of that, and because of all the other bands that are trying to book their tours or have their tours come off, that's the challenging part of it, along with the fact that they share a drummer with My Life with a Thrill Kill Cult,
who's
going to be on tour with them through the fall. And so they have to wait for that second leg of their tour to be in like the wintertime or sometime thereafter. And then I saw Sunny Day Real Estate. This is all in April.
I'm so jealous.
My birthday. My birthday month, and I'd seen them before down in Washington, D.C.
What's his name is in that band from Foo Fighters, right?
Is that
one of the guitar?
Well, originally, when Foo Fighters first started up, William Goldsmith, the drummer, and Nate Mendel, the bass player, when Sunny Day Real Estate broke up, they went and they played with the Foo Fighters after Dave Grohl had completed that first album. And only Nate Mendel stayed with them since that that first album and tour. William Goldsmith didn't stay with them. Nate Mendel's still the bass player. There's a story there, something to do about William Goldsmith was mad or something about maybe Dave Grohl re-recording his drum parts. Ooh. Or something like that. Ooh. And I don't know. I don't know what the story like really is, so I don't want to comment on it too much. Oh yeah, they're amazing. Sunny Day Real Estate, I've seen a lot of live shows, and honestly I can say 100% they are the best live performing band I've ever seen in my life.
Damn. Wow. Yeah.
Really?
Oh yeah.
I'm about to see one of mine, which is Pantera, but it's the remix band. I got Zakk Wylde instead of Dimebag, but I'm all right with that. You got Charlie Benante on drums. You know, I'm going to miss the brothers, but I'm going to hear that music live again with Phil, and Rex will, you know, be pumping out that bass. So I'm going to go to that. You getting a ticket for that one?
I'm considering it. Yeah,
I think you should. We're just gonna. I can't do away.
I've seen Pantera a couple times.
Oh, many. I can't even tell you.
I've seen Anthrax. I've seen Black Label Society, and
many times.
You know, and of course they were friends with the guys in Pantera and Dimebag.
Oh, yeah.
And Vinny.
Yep.
So
it's in good. The guitars are in good hands.
Yeah, for me, it's like the same. It's like the same thing that Static X did. You know, they're honoring the memory of what it was, and you know, carrying forward with what it can still be. So
excellent. Well, yeah, I look forward to it. I mean, I should add, during the sickness too, I did almost I almost bit it twice. And it kind of gives you a new point of view on things. And I'm still not really completely recovered. So there's no mosh pit action for me. It's just going to be me and D up on the hill. And I don't know where you'll be, but I can't go too close. I can't get too close to people. So it's just like, if I get hit, that's a major setback.
Yeah, if I go, I'll go with you guys and I'll just stay back on the hill. I'd rather be back there because, you know, at 45 now, I'm kind of old.
Oh, come on now.
I don't want to get in the pit.
We've been or in anything a few. Like that. I've gotten in a few in my late 40s into my 50s here. So
the last one I was in was Ministry for when they came with Corrosion of Conformity and you saw the Melvins. That one. And my friend, my best friend growing up, who's still my best friend, he's like a brother to me. He actually got thrown out.
Oh.
For apparently
being out of that show,
being too rowdy in the pit.
Oh my god!
Which is stupid because he wasn't.
Oh my god!
But they just picked on him and threw him out.
What was it, like some woke 18-year-old? You're gonna hurt somebody.
I don't know.
Oh come on! That happened to me, and it didn't really happen because I didn't listen. I was at it was a Lollapalooza. No, I'm sorry. It was an Ozfest, and during Coal Chamber. We were actually still kind of hanging. It was Coal Chamber and Seven Dust in the beginning, revving things up. And I believe Static X. No, this is earlier than that. So Tool came on, and it was during Tool. And I was starting a pit in the aisleway. You couldn't not do it because it was clustered with people. Everybody's getting into it. We built it. It started happening. And a kid half my age pointed at me with, you know, he's wearing the staff uniform. Over the fence, and he's like, "You're gonna hurt somebody. You better stop that right now." With that, they threw me out. The pit went insane, and I couldn't be in it. I had to go back. I had a seat not far, so I could go sit in my seat.
Yeah.
And eventually go back in during another band when that kid was eating his nachos or whatever. But yeah, I did get thrown out of that one. That sucked. But it was a young kid that did it, so I'm wondering about this woke nation now, because that was an eon ago. Now, is it going to be worse? Like, your friend getting thrown out of Ministry. How do you get thrown out of a Ministry show? Jesus Christ. The things that people used to do with those shows, I've heard stories. Not going to get into it. But with that, you know, we're going to play an old favorite right now, a favorite band of ours, When Rivers Meet. They apparently are now on their forthcoming album, Aces High, from Peter Noble Productions, who promotes this and sends it to me. This is their third year in a row that... that they are the number one UK blues band of the year. That's a big deal. So across the pond there, they're doing amazing. If only they would break here, but maybe they will. But When Rivers Meet, this is on the forthcoming album, Aces High. We're going to play Perfect Strangers, and I'll get right back here with Sean talking stuff. All right, good to be back. Hope you guys are happy. All right, be right back.
Listening to Kettle Whistle Radio.
So we're back. That was When Rivers Meet, and you could listen to them on our show. I interviewed both Grace and Aaron a while back.
I don't think I was there for
you
that one.
You weren't there for that one. I had a stand-in. Kevin, the man on the street, stepped in for that one and did a pretty good job. He was nervous. yeah, it was kind of funny. Speaking of nervous, I'm before we talk about the new Godzilla movie from Toho Productions, which I'm excited about because you showed me a trailer, I want to talk about while I was in the hospital. There's a lot to talk about there, and I am writing a short story that'll be in Dead Memories, which is coming out probably by the end of the year. It'll be my next book of short stories that my publisher wanted me to put another short story book out. They seem to do better than novels at this point.
How many short stories will you have in it?
I've got 9 now, and they range from 5 pages to 50.
Yeah.
So it's, but I what this is, I'm doing this with a photographer. Her name is Tanya Mendez, and she takes these awesome photos, and then I make a story about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm putting 2 true stories in there, maybe 3, and one of them is my hospital stay. And you asked about my roommate, one of my roomies in the hospital. he laughed. His name was Galen.
This could only happen to you, by the way, I think.
You're probably the 12th person to say that to me. One night, they were moving me from one hospital room to where my surgeon's floor was. I went from floor 2 to floor 8 or something. Floor 8. Anyway, so they moved me in. It's 5 in the morning. And to make a long story short, I'm in a hospital bed. They have to transfer me into this room. We get into the room. The lights are out except for like the TV light was lighting it. It was 85 degrees in the room. And I hear rap music and I hear lightsabers. And I am on drugs at this point. I'm on quite a few medications, morphine, Dilaudid, you name it. So I'm like, what am I hearing? What am I not? They get me into the new bed. And I'm like, it's 85 degrees in here. I could see the temperature. I could feel it. I'm melting. A nurse, she leans over and says to me, she's like, we're gonna get you out of here because it's too hot. This isn't conducive. Apparently, my roommate had been through a few roommates. Again, lightsabers and different versions, 13 different versions.
Did you think you were going crazy?
A little bit. But something also made me feel a little bit at home. The sound of a lightsaber and 80s breakdance and rap music. Okay, time goes on, and it's probably about 5:30 at this point. I'm waiting for them to move me out. And then Egypt came on, an old breakdance song. Well, it kind of was. It was a rap song in the 80s. And behind the curtain, my roommate's back there, and I just said, I'm sure, because I saw him at one point. Younger black guy who was marching around the room because he was exercising. And I just said to him, you were probably not even alive when that song came out. I know that song. And he laughs from behind the curtain and comes walking out with a boot on. He's not supposed to be on it. And he introduces himself while holding a lightsaber, a homemade lightsaber. He made 13 of them for 13 different characters. This one, I believe he had Darth Maul's at this time or Kylo Ren's, with the authentic sound of those lightsabers that he built. And they allowed him to have like 3 at a time in the hospital, and he kept changing them up. But yeah, Galen Starkiller was how he introduced himself. Well-built, young black guy in his mid-40s, very friendly, nice guy, loved his music. And he's like, you got to see this video. And he's showing me the video to like somebody that looks like Rick Rubin breakdancing, doing head spins to Egypt. And I'm like, I don't know what that is. But I was just like, the lightsaber, what are you doing? He's like, I'm testing sounds for my new lightsabers right now on my phone. And he's doing that at the same time while listening to music. And I'm just like, what is happening? You know, what is going on right now? Like, this is a welcome roommate for me.
Mm-hmm.
But who walks into that situation? He's a Star Wars fanatic. His name is not Galen Starkiller. But you can look him up. He has his own website, and he definitely is a cosplayer. His mom is, who also came to visit dressed as a Jedi. His girlfriend came in as a female Darth Maul. This is all in the course of my stay there, because they did come and move me into another room. Galen would come and visit me in a wheelchair, and he would get in trouble for wheeling around in his wheelchair really quick around the staff and doing wheelies and stuff. And then he'd come see me and bring his VR helmet, and I play some virtual reality games. He gave me a lightsaber to use, technically, to battle Darth Vader in one of these VR games that was amazing. Amazing, but I had a migraine, so it didn't go over too well at the time. But yeah, I stayed in touch with this guy. Galen was a great little, a great roommate to have. And then after that, I didn't have any other roommates. They kept me separate because it was when the 4 to 16 different doctors would come in with their students. It was a teaching hospital, so I'd have an audience.
And you're a specimen.
Yeah, to my shark attack stomach, where it's all healed now, but like it still looks like I got attacked by a shark. I've been told that's what I should tell people, but I don't have to be told to tell people that. Anyway, so that being said,
he grabbed me and thrashed me and ripped me around, and I hit him in the head and he let me go. And
and this was all in the hospital. So that happened. But yeah, there's your Galen Starkiller story. I'm sure I have more that'll come to me, and some more will be in the actual Dead Memories book.
But those lightsabers were like real, like you could like fight with him, like, yes, for real.
He wanted to fight. He would come into the room. He's like, let's go. I'm like, all right. I'm in my hospital bed. He's in a wheelchair. And we're like, you know, zapping and bashing each other. And he had these sound effects where he dodged lasers too. It was crazy. A surgeon walked in at one point and said, oh man, I want one of those.
But they're like battle, like yep, legitimate, like, yep, professional kind of.
$2,000 a piece if you put together the parts that he used. Very Disney oriented, but not. These are better than what you'd buy in Disney. They're amazing. Speaking of movies, you brought, like I said, the Godzilla movie, Minus One?
Yeah, there's a new Toho Japanese Godzilla. It's called Minus One. I don't think they're following the Shin Godzilla, which was amazing. I wish they would follow that storyline. You've seen it. I let you borrow.
Yeah, I wanted to see it again. Can't find it now, so I have to get it back from you.
Yeah, I'll let you borrow it again.
Cool.
It looks like a reset. It looks like a, you know, let's go back to ground zero. Let's reimagine, you know, this from the original story. You know, I'm sure they'll put a new spin on it. But there's a teaser trailer out, and it looks really good.
Oh, man, I love the footage. And he was just mashing people. It looks like they're getting more graphic.
And he definitely looks mean.
Yeah. I was afraid of his. When he opened his mouth, he was going down to, like, eat a bunch of people.
It looked like he had the Shin Godzilla, like, eyeball, sort of.
Oh, that was creepy.
Yeah,
creepy, yeah.
Anyway, I mean, it wasn't very long. It was like a 35-second long teaser, so.
Yeah.
Apparently, it comes out December 1st. It's going to be in the theater, so if it's in the theaters here, we're definitely going to go see it.
Yeah, I 100% want to see that in the theater. 100%. I'm looking forward to that. You guys can go look it up on YouTube right now. As far as horror movies, I did see a good one called Unwelcome, which is on Shudder. Everybody probably knows about that one. An Irish film by director John White, W-I-G-H-T. Irish film starring Hannah John Dash Kamen and Douglas Booth. And Calm Meaning, from Star Trek fame. I think you say Calm, C-O-L-M. He's from Calm Meaning, actually, from Star Trek, way back when, Deep Space Nine. He was in, and he played a great character.
Calm.
Yeah, thank you.
I think is how you say it. I don't know.
That's all right. Hey,
I know who he is because I think he was on Hell on Wheels.
Yeah, I believe he.
And,
yeah, he was
I
great.
Love that show.
It's basically the Unwelcome plays on the Irish lore of fairies, and these are not your Tinkerbell Disney fair. These are definitely fairies. To them, are completely different. These are like evil little elves with nasty faces and teeth. And they come with an agenda when you move into a house with their little, they have a little garden in the background with a nice door where they live. And this couple who's escaping the city think they moved into a nice place, but then they find they have to make sacrifices. Yeah, it's really good. It was gory, good scares, creep me out. Good potential all the way through. I'd say stick with the Unwelcome, or just Unwelcome. Really good. While I was sick and home, you're going to laugh at me, I got back into D&D. I'm a dungeon master again, with a group. Dee is in it, her sister and brother-in-law. One of my friends from college keeps threatening to come over. You're always welcome. And, of course, I make it a very creepy twist on that. So, yeah, I'm back into D&D because it's a table game that I can actually stand. There's only so much Connect Four and Battleship I can play.
You know, for all the fantasy and horror and all the things like that that I like, and, of course, you know, Stranger Things, I've played other games like Dungeons & Dragons, but I've never actually played Dungeons & Dragons. So I would love to do that.
Oh, man. Yeah. I'll have you over for a module then. Yeah, because I write them myself, but I base them on the actual modules that are there, but then I'll make my own.
Mm-hmm.
And when I make my own, they're usually better than the ones that are star-bought, because you can make all kinds of twists. But yeah, D&D, and I blame Eddie Munson for that, Stranger Things, the resurgence of D&D. It's huge. We have a huge shop that opened up. It was just Warhammer. Now it's like D&D up the wazoo.
Mm-hmm.
But it's an expensive hobby. Very expensive. The minifigures now, if you're into the painting and all that, they're like, you know, $7 a piece, sometimes $7.99, you get two of them. The sets, if you're, I like painting my own sets and all that. If you're into the diorama portion of it, you're going to drop a dime like Eddie Munson did somehow in the 80s.
Well, that reminds me, you definitely had another hobby while you were covering. You get your little figurines from Japan, I think, right?
Oh, yeah.
That you put together and paint, and
you're surrounded by them.
Yeah.
You're surrounded by the Gundams. I build the mobile suits, the Japanese versions with Japanese directions. Try that. I can't read Japanese, so I just wing it. And you're looking at it.
Yeah,
but some of them, they're around, and some of these boxes are filled with them. I change them up. And they're easy to break, so you got to be very careful. The bigger ones are not so easy to break. A lot of painting, a lot of model building, and trying to keep my sanity and my I don't know. My interests in peak because reading. I couldn't even read when I was sick. Couldn't focus on the written word.
Yeah.
That came back around May. I could focus a little bit. But June, I started reading again. And we're going to talk about some books, actually, in our next episode with Heather Taddy, one of which you gave me that she read as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to want to take it back soon.
Because I have yet to read it. Right. I let her borrow it.
You'll know the cases.
You borrowed it.
I just want to tease that because you're going to know the cases and you're going to have some input on that.
Yeah.
But right now, speaking of expensive hobbies, I want to play a song by NSK, Norwegian Soft Kitten. Okay, Norwegian Soft Kitten, we've played before, and they're a very, very, very interesting band. They are, okay, this is how they're written up. You can get them on Bandcamp if you like this, kids. Aimless two-piece rock and roll outfit. Glenn pitches ideas, and Alan sighs disapprovingly. Oh, they're like us. also, vice versa. Oh. Sometimes we warm your body, and sometimes we melt just the face part of your body. Thank you for providing your body, they say. And this is off their album, On Loan to the Universe, I believe it's called. Yeah. And so we're going to play Expensive Hobby. Actually, no. This one is Sunshine on Lava. On Loan from the Universe is their album prior to that. So there you go. You got both of them on Bandcamp right now. So check out Expensive Hobby. And we'll get right back to you. And thanks for listening to Kettle Whistle Radio.
Sing a song of a seamstress for your debut pants.
Or you will split them!
Shake it, shake it, shake it, infant annoyance for the sake of some peace.
And quiet!
Now hear the sirens! Take it, take it, take it, traveling salesman to the edge of that cliff.
Wait for the arrival of the car to get the fuck on the tank.
Emancipation of that hardest stash of disposable income. It's a disease, a curse, a habit I cannot refrain from. Control is too far gone, not drowning in collectible clutter. Me to one expensive hobby after another.
hear a chorus of tyrants on the edge of their thrones.
Don't like your manners!
Slam a door in the chapel. The ministers, they say great thoughts.
They're not about you!
Think about a pneumonia to avoid that bruise.
New Jersey beaches!
Mantra on the cluttered jazz rehearsal.
Who's parading? Who's spectating? Someone bring this back to an end!
Pathetic waste of sailboat sits there rotting in the harbor. The weekly trips to your exceptional Parisian barber. It can't be checkers, crosswords, sewing, birding, much too frugal. Another month of this and I'll be forced to ramen noodle. Collecting late fees on my credit card for recreation. Cut off from logic, it's a self-inflicted separation. Another week of this and I'm not likely to recover. You introduce me to one expensive hobby after another. One expensive hobby after another. One expensive hobby after another. One expensive hobby after another.
Okay, well, I hope that you liked NSK, Norwegian Soft Kitten, like we do. I enjoy them. I did watch a movie that I'm not going to necessarily recommend, but even in teasing it, it's like that cat that's too furious. It's also like the kid that, you know, is not supposed to eat the cookie from the cookie jar, or you're watching something that you think you shouldn't be watching. And it's called Calvaire, also known as The Ordeal, from 2004. It's a French-made film, and you think I'd watch it in French after 3 to 5 years of French, mm-hmm. but I still sound like I'm speaking pig Latin when I... And Heather Taddy also, she has a huge book on French. We try to go back and forth, and it's always je ne sais pas. that's our answer for everything. But yeah, French-made by director Fabrice Duwels. Let's see here. Mark is a traveling artist, musician, for old folks homes, and he gets a gig for Christmas, and he's traveling somewhere in the backwoods, and he has a breakdown in a very unsavory environment. This is on Shudder. It's creepy, frustrating, and perverse is how I'd call it. Perverse, I saw another movie critic use. The movie itself put me in a bad mood, but as one reviewer put it, being perverse, you cannot take your eyes off it. I couldn't take my eyes off of it as much as I wanted to turn it off like 12 separate times. And I had to know where it went. And that I agree with that. I say that. And this film critic said the same thing, that it's just perverse. It's a weird movie. But you, like, every time you're like, why am I watching this? You got to see what's going to happen next. And it's just like, is it worth it? Not really. If you want to get into a bad mood and feel really depressed. normally I don't feel that way, but being, you know, stuck on a couch for all these months,
yeah,
it wasn't the thing to watch. I don't know where you are with films like that, but
yeah, if it feels like torture to watch it, I'll shut it off.
Watching someone's demise through like almost 2 hours is hard. It's hard to watch. But where it goes is so weird and bizarre. And I would love to ask that director what he was thinking. Because I can't even explain it.
It depends. It could be like your situation and you just sort of like power through it and like, oh, I wish I had that hour and a half or 2 hours
back of my life.
You know,
that's Calvaire. The Ordeal is the translation.
That sounds like a glowing review.
Nah, it is for some people that want to, you know, feel that way. If you want to write, you know, a Trent Reznor type song, this is the movie for you. You know, this would help Trent write Pretty Hate Machine Part 2. You know, this time it would be a dude that would be the Pretty Hate Machine. Anyway, Evil Dead Rise. Did you watch it?
No.
Oh, we can't talk about that one yet, folks. But I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Did you enjoy it more than the last Evil Dead?
Yes and no, because the other one was kind of a reboot of a similar situation. This situation is completely different.
But it was bloody as hell. It was the last one.
And this one, too, Buckets of Blood. Buckets of Blood. They competed with the blood. I'd love to hear which one had more. Not sure. This one definitely is up there. But they give you the fear of family as opposed to just friends drinking and getting high on, at a cabin. This is a bunch of kids are in it.
But the creative team, I mean, obviously there's probably a new director.
Well,
but
Sam Raimi and
but the
and
creative
Campbell.
Team is there, right? They're producing it.
Oh, yeah.
Part of it.
Bruce Campbell is not in it, but he there's an homage to him. It looks like he's going to be in, if there's another one after this, that he's coming back, I'm assuming. And I heard an interview with him where, yes, he wants to. He would never say no. And then you got Sam Raimi, of course. They're both producers on this. Well, Bruce Campbell's a producer. It was well done, and it takes place in an apartment complex. And I like how it starts and ends somewhere completely different. And I'm just going to leave it at that since you didn't see it. No spoilers here. But Evil Dead Rise gets two thumbs up. Didn't put me in a bad mood. Somebody else watching it with me was kind of grossed out. And they do go to the point where you have kids involved.
I think it's free for me to watch on one of the streaming platforms.
It's on HBO Max. Or Max.
We just watched that 65 movie.
Oh, I was going to watch that.
It was like a sci-fi sort of dinosaur movie.
Am I going to waste my time?
I am. You might.
I could tell right away that my problem with the Jurassic Park films, and the only problem I have, is they should just title them all, "We Gotta Save the Kids." And I've talked about this before. Because as soon as I see that there's a kid in the cast, I don't want to see the movie. Because Spielberg has to save the kid at the end. And the kids always have to have some superpower. I can't stand that. Because the books, Crichton, good books, they took it to Disneyland. And you know who's going to die, who's going to live in a Jurassic Park film.
I think there was a lot of, for me, there was a lot of promise there, but not a lot of delivery.
No. Yeah. I love the dinosaurs. I love the munching. I actually like the second one best because there's a lot of munching.
In Jurassic Park, I love. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about 65.
Oh, 65. 65.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like. I do love the Jurassic. I like the Jurassic Park movies. I have a problem with films that tell me in the beginning, you know, if somebody does something on the sly, Spielberg's going to kill them.
There's no real setup. I mean, there's you get kind of thrust into like something you don't quite understand, like,
yep.
Okay, he's going on a mission, but
this is 65 we're talking about.
But why? You know? And then it just sort of, you know, I felt it, in my opinion, underdelivered.
I'm leery of it because there's a kid in it. And that
you're wise to be leery.
Yeah, because then it's just going to become another, "We got to save the kid." And that's why I liked Evil Dead Rise. They did have to save the kids. Do they all make it? I'm not going to answer that. They played a dangerous game with family in that movie. I always wanted a Jurassic Park. If you read the books, there was some, especially the second one, Lost World. A family does crash on the island and bad things happen. But they Spielberged that up too. Even Crichton did it in his books. But yeah, like what I was trying to say is, like with Spielberg, he goes caveman theory, which I call shit. Through the years growing up watching dinosaur movies, as soon as the cavemen showed up in a dinosaur movie, I was out. Yeah. I was out. Well, for Spielberg, it's the bad guys. There's always bad humans, the Frankenstein theory, and they show up, they're worse than the dinosaurs. I don't want that. That means your dinosaurs aren't scary enough. And I'm out. So 65 looks like it might be the same problem for me. But
I saw two other movies.
Oh, let's go.
Big movies.
Okay.
I saw The Flash.
Oh, and Ezra Miller lost his mind.
Yeah, he did.
Did he ruin the movie?
No. I mean, okay. For me, I went into the movie wanting to see Michael Keaton as Batman.
Yes, I'm in.
And he delivered.
Ah, that's what I hear.
It was fantastic.
Sweet.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm a fan of the director, too, and his wife, the Machetes. You know, they did the It movies, the remakes, Chapter 1 and Chapter 2.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah. And I thought they did that The Flash movie really well. Granted, Ezra Miller Miller has, you know, quite a bit of issues in his personal life. But
he pulled a Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
Yeah, he really did.
And then we saw The Flash, but I went and saw the new Dial of Destiny, the new Indiana Jones.
Oh, I enjoyed that.
It was amazing.
Yeah, it was fun. That was fun. Throwback. It is my third favorite now.
Okay. Yes,
I'm going to go with Raiders, Crusade, and now the last one. So odd numbers for
me. I may catch a lot of flack for this, but I really, really, really like...
Temple of Doom?
No, the one that... The Kingdom of the Crystal Skull.
I liked it.
I loved
it. You're not going to catch flack from me. I liked it. Yeah. It was brutalized. It made me want to watch it again. But as far as I'm concerned, it's the odd numbers for indie films are the best for me in the order that they came out. But no, I like the Skull one.
I like Temple of Doom, and I think Temple of Doom
is a great sequel.
Gets a lot of a prequel actually, but it gets a lot of flack because they went like they tried to go. I read something recently about they tried to go like let's go a little bit dark like. The Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah,
and they felt like in the end result they went a little too dark, a little too horror, which there definitely are a lot of horror elements in that.
No, pulling hearts out was a big. They almost got an R rating for that. I think that was the movie that created the PG-13 rating.
It is the movie that created PG-13.
Yeah. Yeah, you just can't do that with kids. Oh, eating monkey brains and all the bug eating and so. Yeah, I've talked about that movie a few, and that scene at the dinner table and how it actually infuriated some Indian friends of mine. yeah, sorry, Anu, Shalandra, and they were really pissed about it. They're like, we don't do that. I know it's a movie. Blame Spielberg.
It's entertainment.
Yes, and
Anu, keep it as that.
If you're listening, Anurag, I still agree that scene is kind of offensive. Yes, and Harbosh, he's another guy. He's a Sikh friend of mine. He was a fraternity brother, and they were all very offended by that scene. So Spielberg may have to check himself at some point. Anyhow, all right, listen, man, on our next episode, we got Heather Taddy. We're going to be, two co-hosts of mine, two of my favorite people will be in the same room, and we're going to be talking her ghostesses and UFOs, and I want to thank John Young and D-Factor for the soundtrack to our escape on Kettle Whistle Radio. The music you hear in the background is D-Factor, and that guy is amazing, John Young. Hit up D-Factor if you can. I told him to put his stuff on Bandcamp. I don't think he's listening, but he is listening, so do it, man. Anything in closing for you? We're going to go out with a song by Robert John and The Wreck. Thank you to Peter Noble Productions. We're going to listen to West Coast Eyes, which I think is a pretty song. And for me, it is a ballad as far as I'm concerned. They would probably get mad about that because it's kind of also a rockin' tune. But what do you got in closing, Sean?
I just want to say that I'm really glad to have you back, and I love you, brother.
Oh, thanks, man. All right. Now the world knows that, too. Thanks, guys. And thank you, Sean, for being here and coming back. And we'll talk to you soon with Miss Heather Taddy.
Through those ways. Pop culture. subcultures. Music. Horror.
Sex.
Politics. Art. And overall bad ass.
This is Society 13. Redefining podcasting.
Welcome to Ringside with Ray and Prince. My name is Ray Leonard Jr.
Oh, is that his dad? No, that's just my dad.
My name is Prince Daniels Jr.
Daniels again with a big home touchdown.
On this show, we come to humanize
athletes, entertainers, business executives. We're going to see what makes them tick.
Tuesdays, 10 a.m. Pacific time on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and wherever you get your podcasts.
We'll see you there. Peace and power.
Electric acid. Welcome to Transforming 45, the podcast that celebrates the incredible power of passionate voices. I'm your host, Lisa Boat. Join me in conversation with heart-led humans who share their deeply personal stories of transformation. Transforming 45 is here to uplift, connect, and remind you that it's never too late to write your next chapter. So get ready to be inspired, empowered, and transformed. Join me in this community where through powerful storytelling, we heal and reclaim our inherent magic.
Electric acid.